To Newbury Baptist Church on this beautiful spring morning, and on Mothering Sunday too, a good opportunity to give thanks for those who care for us in many different ways. Now I'm going to ask you, if you would, in a moment or two, to stand up and join me in, if not a moment's silence, then a moment's quietness, as much as we can manage it. Terrible events in Westminster earlier this week, the very heart of British democracy under attack. People losing their lives, people going for a day out in London and everything turning horrible. A moment people will remember for a long time. It'll be one of those snapshots as where were you on the 22nd of March 2017. So I'm going to ask if you would to join me if we stand together in a moment's quietness, and then I'll lead you in prayer as we remember PC Keith Palmer and the five others who died on that day. Father, we pray for peace for those who mourn. We pray for wisdom for those who plan. We pray for courage for those who protect us. And we pray for a change of heart for those who plan evil. In this moment, O God, stand with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do please take a seat. Thank you. All sorts of things going on in the life of the church. We have GPS here tonight, a slightly more informal service, but at 7:30 tonight instead of 8. Come along and join us at 7:30 if you are able to. We are looking for deacons to serve this church in the role of leadership. And I want to read to you again a statement I read last Sunday. This morning, I need to give you formal notification that the process for election of new deacons is underway. Deacons play a key role in the life of the church and are described in 1 Timothy as being worthy of respect, sincere, able to keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. There will be nomination slips available at the close of the service in the welcome area. As many names as are proposed, seconded and agreed may go forward for election. Specific roles are to be determined after election. Luke Radford is at the end of his term and eligible for re-election. Fiona Ashworth will be stepping down from her role at the AGM. So please do take a nomination form and use it afterwards. We have the Roughshod Theatre Company coming to join us in the first week of April. They're going to lots of secondary schools in the area. They'll also be doing a public performance on the Saturday of the week that they are here. I have a number of things for you here. There are bookmarks which are available for you where you can pray for every single event. Great long list of schools that they are going to. I know they would value that. There are posters of different sizes that you can take and display at home, in your window, in a place of work. And there are also these small handbills that explain to people what the Roughshod Theatre Group is all about. Please do take them. This is an incredible opportunity for the town, and we need you to advertise it for us, so we'll make those available to you afterwards. Just one more notice. Nick Freeman, where have you gone? Oh, there he is.
Now, who likes good darts? No, obviously not. Well, I like a good dance, because if you see me at a party, you know I like a good dance. Those who've witnessed it, it's a bit embarrassing sometimes. But I want to tell you about a very good dance that's happening on the 28th of April. Friday the 28th of April at Cheesley Village Hall. Street Passers are having their annual fundraising event. And it's a Cayley. It's a very funny spelling, Cayley, isn't it? But C-E-I-L-I-D-H. Which doesn't sound like Cayley, or look like Cayley, but it is. So it's a Scottish dance this time, not a barn dance. I've got tickets today. If you want tickets from me, come and see me. Debbie Barton-Hunt will also have tickets. It's £10. And you also get a plan of supper thrown in as well. So if you could come and support us, we'd be really appreciate that. Just to remind you, Friday, 28th of April. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. As we come to worship this morning, listen to this description of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Stand and sing together. Father, in all that we say and sing and hear, we ask that the King of heaven and earth might be lifted up in our worship this morning. As we worship together in the name of Jesus, make your presence known, we ask. O King of kings, amen. Thank you. do please sit down. Now, I haven't brought a story box with me this week, and I haven't brought a science box with me this week because the story is happening out there, because I've got some helpers who are going to help me this morning. Don't panic, they know who they are. Well, if you are one of them, you can panic a little bit, but the rest of you don't need to. See, I want to tell you a story about a very poor man. He didn't start off poor, but he lost absolutely everything. And God came and gave him a gift. Thank you. God gave him 10 apples. And the poor man had nothing. So he thought, well, you know what? I'll use these. He said, the first thing I'm going to do, I've lost all my best clothes. I'll go and buy myself something to wear. So he took 3 of the apples and he bought himself a jacket to wear, which just happened to fit perfectly. And then he thought, well, you know, now I've got that to wear, now I need something, somewhere to live. I need a roof over my head to keep the rain out. I need a house. So he took another 3 apples. And he looked around with these apples that God had given him. He thought, you know, I'm going to buy myself a house in which I can live. There we go. And there it is, look. Beautifully constructed by Lois and Chloe. He thought, I'm feeling better now. God's taken some notice of me, and he saw how poor it was, and he gave me these 10 apples, and I bought myself something to wear, and I bought myself somewhere to live. But he thought, I wish I had something to get around in. I wish I had a car I could move around in. So he took another 3 apples. He thought, let me go and get myself something that I can drive around in. And this being old Newbury, bought a traction engine to drive around in. And this is great, he thought, my life has turned around. I was so poor, I'd lost everything, and God was so good to me. He gave me all these 10 apples, and I bought something to wear, and I've got a house to live in, and I've got something to drive around in. I've got everything I need, and now there was just 1 apple left. He thought, 10 apples, spent not. What should I do with it? Should I keep it? Should I give it back to God? What should I do? Well, I'll tell you what he did. This is what he did. I thought this was a small apple. He ate it. And he gave God the core. Listen, this is Stewardship Sunday. When we think about what we give to God, it shouldn't be like that. Let's see your core again, James. Let's just see it. It's not really good enough, is it? God, it gives us everything. And sometimes we give him the leftovers. We owe him everything. And sometimes what he gets back from us is just the bit that's left over. We're going to think about that a little bit more later on. Let's sing together. Ruth, thank you. Thank you, James. Stick it in the next one.
Right, we're going to sing a song together, but I would like the children to help with the instruments. So if you'd like to come and get an instrument so that you can join in the band, that would be great. And the rest of you, if you'd like to stand.
But I left you.
Wonderful. Do please sit down. I invite those going out to Chatterbox to make their way there, but I think we might see you a bit later on. Drop your instruments in on the way past.
We're going to spend some time worshipping God in the next three songs. If you'd like to either stand or sit for the first two, and just really focus on who God is to you.
Forever exalted, and I will praise.
would you like to stand as we sing the next song, where we'll just focus on worshipping God together? So if you're able to, then please stand.
Father, for your every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks. Take these offerings of ours and make them grow in the work of the kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. I want to pray with you very specifically on this Mothering Sunday, and I will do that in a moment. But there's another matter we need to pray about too. Some of you may have read about 5 weeks ago in the Newbury Weekly News that the leader of the West Barts Council and his wife were involved in a serious car accident in France, and his wife died as a result. News has broken this morning that he died this morning, Roger Croft. And I believe we should pray for those who mourn him and for his family. Should we do that now? And then we'll pray for other things too. Father, we thank you for those who serve us in local government. We thank you for the hours they put in, for the high aspirations they have. Thank you, Father, for their service to this community. And today we want to remember Roger Croft's family. We want to remember the friends and colleagues who've served alongside him. And we pray, Father, that in this day of mourning, they might know your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. As we focus our prayers, let's continue to pray on this Mothering Sunday too. Father, today we give you thanks for those who cherish motherhood, for those to whom it is a constant source of challenge, but also reward. We pray too for those for whom it is a challenge almost too great to bear, for those who worry for their children, for those who suffer from depression of many kinds, for those where the mother's road is uphill today. for mothers in Eastern Africa who cannot fend for their children as they would wish, for mothers from Syria and elsewhere who cannot protect their children or give them a home. We pray for those who would love to be mothers but cannot. Be near to them, we pray. We pray for those who grieve the loss of a mother, recent or distant. In the quietness now, we bring someone special to you, whoever it may be. And we ask for the touch of the King, which changes all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to stand as we sing the next song?
Sit down. I'm going to come and ask her, Shirley, to come now and read to us from Matthew's Gospel. Thank you.
The reading is St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 31. The words of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his right glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, And he will separate the people from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Shall we just pray together as Richard expands that passage to us? Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning, and we just pray that as Richard brings your word to us now, that you will just help give us listening ears, Lord, and hearts to receive the words that you have for us today. So just bless Richard and the words that he speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. Thanks to my little Gideon Bible here, given to me in June of 1976, I became a Christian in my teenage years. And I'd not been a Christian very long when I took a very deep breath and went to the monthly church prayer meeting, instantly lowering the age by probably around about 30 years. I was the only young person there, and assembled around the edge of the room were the elders, of whom I was slightly terrified, and some other people in the church of whom I was slightly terrified. And as if that weren't bad enough, the only poster that I could see opposite me on the room wall was one of those palm tree posters, you might remember those, and it was a judge leaning over the bench, and it said, "If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" That really helped. But you know, there's been an awful lot of talk about the gospel by this stage in Matthew. There's been an awful lot of talk about the kingdom. There's been an awful lot of miracles witnessed. Those who are still around to listen to these words have weathered lots of storms. They've flinched when Jesus went and trashed the temple. To their credit, they're still standing there. But even that still isn't really enough. If they want to stand up for Jesus from here on in, they'll have to shape up and put up and stand up and be counted. And Jesus says, look, here's the first thing you've got to do. All of you stuck with me, he says, you have got to do this. Honor the king. Honor the king. In all the Gospels, Jesus tries to wriggle out of people calling him king. He doesn't want it to come too soon. They will not understand what kind of king he is until he's a king that wears a thorny crown. Do look at the new banner on your way out, by the way, and you'll see it displayed on there. But here he looks to a time ahead, a time when he can be seen as nothing other than the king, which will surely come. And out come all the descriptions. Verse 31, there he is with the angels arrayed to right and left, on his glorious throne in the heavens. And there, spread out before him like a carpet, are all the nations. And he refers to himself as the king. Verse 34, he talks about the king will say to those on his right. It comes back again in verse 40. The king will say to those on his left. It's as if the tide of royal imagery that people have been trying to foist upon him and that he's been holding back, all of a sudden Matthew opens the floodgates here and it all comes tumbling out. This is the king of all creation. Honor the king. A couple of years ago, I started working with a young man called Ed. Now, I'd been privileged to baptise Ed as a believer. I'd then been privileged to conduct his wedding ceremony, and then I dedicated his children as well. And then Ed landed up joining me on the equivalent of the diaconate. And he brought with him all his experience as a volunteer manager for a nationwide charity. And Ed brought all kinds of insights that I would never have thought of, working as he did in, as it were, the secular volunteer sector. And he came to me and said, you know, Richard, you need to think about what the offer is. The offer, I thought? The offer to the volunteers. Think about what it is you're offering to them as well as what it is that you're asking for from them. Think about what they get out of it. Think about what the parameters are of their service. All this stuff I'd never thought about before. It was absolutely brilliant. But if you are a Christian, you are not a volunteer. You are a servant. All that stuff about volunteer management is brilliant, and the church needs to hear some of it. But let's not be fooled. As Christian men and women, we are not volunteers. We are disciples and servants of the King. We are servants of his, sold out and handed over and bowed down before the King of Kings. Today, as I said when I was talking to the children with my delightful visual aid, today is Stewardship Sunday, a good day to think about what we offer to him. And yes, our talents, and yes, our money, and yes, our time are all owed to him. But listen, we're not doing him a favor by graciously handing him a little bit that's left over. Who gave the man the apples in the first place? Where did they all come from? The most fundamental principle of giving time and talent and money to God is this, that actually we're giving it back. Because he gave it to us in the first place. And here's the first of a couple of uncomfortable questions for you this morning. If we are not giving money and time and service to him to the extent to which we are able, then in what sense is he our king? Serve the king. Answer, honour the king and serve his subjects. If you've got the passage open in front of you, look back at what it is he's actually calling on us to do. He says, you've got to honour the king. That's the first thing. We're not volunteers, we're servants. Honour the king. Then he says, serve his subjects. So when you look at the list of how he describes that, none of it is complicated. It's all about giving people food when they're hungry, or water when they're thirsty, or clothing when they need it, or shelter, or just going to visit them. This is not rocket science. It's not difficult stuff. When we honour the king, we do it by the way that we care for his fellow subjects, and sometimes that care is incredibly ordinary. But we do it for him. Are you a Christian? Then honour the king. Are you a Christian? Then serve his subjects, even when it seems unappealing to you to do so. Years ago, I was very fortunate to go and visit the Home for the Dying, run by Mother Teresa in Calcutta. Incredible place, you know, and you literally pick your way over the beggars on the pavement to go in through the main door of the compound, and then the door shuts behind you and all the noise of the street is shut away, and there in front of you is an enormous truck with all sorts of dangly bits on it like they tend to have in India, and across the front of this truck in huge letters it says God is love. And then you go inside and you see where people, babies and adults, are being cared for, some of them in the last days of their lives. And every morning, as the nuns gather together, ready to feed the dying and clothe them and tend the sick, this is the prayer that they pray. Dearest Lord, may I see you today and every day in the person of your sick, and whilst serving them, minister unto you. Though you hide yourself in the unattractive disguise of the irritable, the exacting, and the unreasonable, may I still recognize you and say, Jesus, my patient, how sweet it is to serve you. Honor the king and serve his subjects. To go back to when I was first a Christian, a friend of mine in the youth group, her dad became a deacon and church secretary. And when he first addressed the church as church secretary, he said, I've been reading my Bible to check what a deacon's meant to do. And he said, as far as I can see, my job is to feed the Greek widows in the church. Well, he kind of half got it right. The job of a deacon is to serve those who are in the church. And I have to say to you, I have never seen the diaconate of Newbury Baptist Church look more like a diaconate than when they spent half their meeting on Monday night praying for you. I put the business to one side and just prayed for the men and women of the church who were in needs of different kinds. We honour the king because he's the king. But we prove the fact that we honour him by serving his subjects. Friends, we launched a bold new vision for the next 3 years last Sunday morning, and some of you would have seen it come out in your emails during the week. But it's not going to happen unless we have a service mentality about us. If a day should come when the church cannot give support to mission because there's not enough in the coffers, if a day should come when there's no one to open the door so that babies and toddlers and young people and teenagers are loved and welcomed, if a day should come when there is no person to show pastoral care by bringing flowers to the door or reading a verse at the bedside, if that day should come, then in what sense are we serving his subjects? Honour the king. Serve his subjects. And dare I say it, reap a reward for doing so. Oh, that's very un-British and uncomfortable, isn't it? Of all the things that came out on Thursday morning after the terrible events of Wednesday, this is the one that possibly appeals to me the most. This was written on a whiteboard at Richmond Tube Station. All terrorists are politely reminded that this is London. And whatever you do to us, we will drink tea and jolly well carry on. Thank you. It's all so jolly British, isn't it? You know, and to even breathe that we might want a reward for serving Jesus seems wrong and terribly countercultural. But even if we don't breathe it, we think it. And even if we would never for one moment say to one another that we expect some kind of reward, on the inside, that's what we're all hanging out for. And I know that because as a pastor, I have heard it in the voice of every person who's served just that little bit too much. And who's given up to and beyond what they can do. And they're so wearied by it. And they want to know that someone appreciates it. And you know, the good bits of those letters in Revelation are all about that. The good bits of the letters to the seven churches are all about Jesus saying, look, I've seen what you've done and I appreciate it. I've seen what you're doing for me. I've seen how you're standing up for me. I've seen how you're serving me. And it is all duly noted. You've honored the king. You've served his subjects. And I am grateful for it. Here's a confession, which will shock some of you more than others. I never attended a football match until I was in my 30s. Oh, I can hear Sharpin take a breath there. And it was a Crystal Palace football match. And then I went back a few more times. And on one occasion, Crystal Palace were playing Arsenal, which was never going to be a happy event, I think, one way or another. And there was a tackle on one of the Crystal Palace players. And I have the suspicion that the gentleman in front of me did not approve of the way the match was going. And I have that suspicion because straight after this tackle, when play continued, he cupped his hands around his mouth and shouted, "Oi, ref! You watching this? Oi, ref. You watching this? You seen what I'm up to? Have you seen what I'm doing for you? Have you seen the sacrifices I'm making for you?" And this passage, Jesus says, yes, 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 and yes again. Yes, I'm watching this. And yes, I've seen it. And yes, I've seen all these things you've done. That's what the middle chunk of the passage is all about, is Jesus saying, look, I do know what you've done for me. I do know the people you've served. And I do know the sacrifices you've made. He says, yes, ref, I'm watching this. And there's not a sacrifice you have made, nor a kind word you have shared, nor a brave step of faith that you have taken, nor a harsh word that you've swallowed when you decided not to say it. Not a single one of those goes unnoticed by me. David was hanging on for that in the Psalms. He talks to God and says, oh, you've kept my tears in your bottle. Every one of them has fallen, you've caught them and measured them all. We count on that. Don't we? Honour the king. Serve his subjects. And yes, reap the reward. Do you know, here's a great thing as I close. When we get to heaven, no one is going to have a list under their arm. There are some churches, people say amen at that kind of thing. I'll try the next one. When we get to heaven, there'll be no rotas. Oh, wonderful. Yes, when we get to heaven, there'll be none of those things going on. When we get to heaven, no one is going to produce a list from their back pocket and say, oi, ref, were you watching this? You know why? Because the reward of seeing his face will be reward enough. And you'll never feel you need to list those things off. Because he will have noted every single one of them. Honour the king. Serve his subjects, and when the day comes, reap the rewards. And when that reward comes, the greatest thing will be seeing his face. We're going to sing an old hymn together. It's a Salvation Army hymn, which means some of you will know it very well, and some of you would never have heard it before. But it just captures that moment when the Lord in glory comes. Let's stand, sing it together.
His voice when he appears. descendants of his throne. Not his robe and I had danced, not the gold and not the gems, but his face upon my side shall be darkness into light, but his face upon
to please sit down. You can see we've been joined by some little people. Now, I've never been here for Mothering Sunday before, but I'm told that something rather wonderful is going to happen at this moment. I think there might be some flowers for some mums. We've even got helpers to distribute them, look. Okay, well, if you'd like to come and get some and take them to your mums, that would be good. Thank you, sir. Off you go, find the right person to give them to. You should recognise them. Now, we are very good to you, because just suppose you're going to visit your mum today and you haven't got something to take in your hands. Would you like to come and get some flowers to take? So if that's you, if you would like to take one to a mum later today, then come and get some. Now, all these helpers coming back, can you see anybody else that you think ought to have some flowers today? There's lots to go around. You take some. You see anybody that you think ought to have some this morning, then you take some and you give them to them. That would be lovely. Who can you see that ought to have some flowers today, do you think? Still some to go. If you can see someone you think ought to have some flowers, you take them and give them to them right now. That'll be lovely. Can you see any of the women in the church sitting next to you who haven't got one? Come and get one. Make sure they get one to go home with.
I haven't got one.
Have a look around.
You're going to take that one to somebody? Yeah. You take that one to the lady.
You see anybody who hasn't got one? Can you spot anybody who hasn't got any? If I look down that side. Lovely. Okay. Can I just take one from you, Fred? At risk of looking very sweet, I'm going to stand here and hold this while I pray. Let's pray together to close our service. So, Father, thank you for these beautiful flowers that you have made. Thank you for the people who are holding them right now and those to whom we'll maybe give them later. Father, today we're grateful to you for the people who love us so very much, and we pray for your blessing on them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy your Sunday.